The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm. And you'll find out what happened to Frankenstein and other stuff that never happened. Freaking nerds.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Have you ever done whippets?
Have I done whippets? No, I've eaten a lot of whipped cream, but I've never...
Not the same.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, I always discard the can once the cream is gone, but no.
You're making a big mistake.
Really? I hear it's a good time.
Yeah. My sister used to do it, like, as a kid. My sister was a huffer.
Okay. That's...
Like, as a child.
That I've always associated with that as, like, the most white trash way to get high. Huffing.
I'm surrounded by them.
Paint or glue or gas? What does she huff? Or did she huff?
I don't know if Rachel can hear me. Rachel used to get in trouble. She tells a story about like the 7-Eleven cup melting because they would put splash a little gas in there.
Oh, jeez.
Tegan would just, like, it was always markers. She would just like just as a kid, like magic markers and stuff. And my mom would be like, she just loves the way they smell. I don't get it. I'm like, all right. But then somebody showed her about the Ready Whip. And she'd be like, you got to do this. And you just stand in front of the fridge and stagger for a while. And I'd be like, I don't know why this Ready Whip doesn't come out the way it's supposed to.
Oh, my God. That's insane. Yeah, I watched a movie years ago with Philip Seymour Hoffman where he huffs airplane glue. Real depressing movie.
Yeah, I mean it's right there for the taking. Mm-hmm. I've done the cartridges and whatever else, desk cleaner.
Yeah, apparently gold paint is popular amongst people who enjoy that stuff. I don't know what the gold, something about the gold in it. I mean, I know it's not real.
I think maybe if you're gonna get caught huffing paint, you may as well have gold on your face instead of a more muted color. May as well go regal, you know?
Yeah, probably.
The old mouth crown. Is this next week's episode? Or are we coming out? I don't know what we're doing with this one.
Yeah, this
you've been
is,
ill, Dave.
Yeah, I've been ill. This is next week's episode. Yeah, we're recording early because you're travel next week.
Episode's late. Dave's sick. Blame Kyle. Yeah. I get it. I think it's cute. I like that people participate in it.
Yeah, I thought maybe we could get one done last week, but one day of feeling bad turned into about 5 days of feeling awful.
You got dinged up.
I didn't go to the doctor or anything. I can't tell if it's the flu or food poisoning or a virus, but and not to be too graphic, but I've lost 11 pounds and I've burned no calories and I haven't vomited, so do the math. And it was really
big sweats.
Really testing the limits of my own biology. It was like
you read a lot of books.
It was it was intense. It was it just really
that sounds
sucked.
Like a food poisoning type of thing.
Yeah, I've had food poisoning before, and
what got you? Who took the throne?
Oh man,
literally.
I had food poisoning in 2001 from
who took down Goliath
from eating grilled shrimp, the grilled shrimp dinner at Longhorn Steakhouse in Greenville, South Carolina, and that's the sickest I've ever been, and. That was
let's go. Hold on a second. Mm-hmm. Is all you got? You got shrimp?
Yeah.
At Longhorn Steakhouse?
Yeah. Yeah. I was on tour with Stuck Mojo, tour managing rap metal pioneer Stuck Mojo. And we stopped it after, I can't remember, but some on the way home from a weekend of shows, we stopped at Greenville, South Carolina, ate at Longhorn. I had the shrimp. And
but you didn't get a steak at a steakhouse is what I'm saying.
No, because I was also moonlighting at Longhorn in Georgia at the time, and I'd had my share of steak at that point in my life.
So I was like, oh, okay. You were full up on it.
Yeah, let me try to mix it up and try the shrimp. And that was the sickest I've ever been in my life. I literally thought, like, oh, this is what dying feels like. And my point is, back then, it was coming out of every hole. But this was a little more focused.
Southern hemisphere.
Yeah. And just really, it's been
sorry, man.
not to you know, woe is me, but it's just been a real awful week, man. It's just really, and you know, this is kind of an obvious statement. I hate feeling sick, but I'm assuming whatever I'm dealing with right now isn't necessarily connected to my general lack of health and fitness, but just sitting there all day on the toilet, all week on the toilet, I was like, I gotta really make some changes. And you know, when
feeling a bit folded over.
Yeah, I just, I mean, again, obvious statement, but like, I feel like it's human nature to somewhat take your health for granted until you're out of commission for a few days, you know. And it's like, oh, I hate that feeling of just being weak and meek and powerless, and just, I was like, I gotta change some shit. I know that the way I'm going, that I'm gonna have a lot more of that type of stuff in my future. I don't want to be laid up with heart disease and diabetes and all kind of ailments that come with, you know, obesity and poor health. So it's definitely, you know, kind of a wake-up call of like, man,
I'm kind of like in a weird way lucky I got gout and figured out when it was, because it's like, all right, let's try and change up the diet a little bit and change how we're doing.
Dude,
it's gonna, this is the thing, like, it's that one of those, you only figure it out when you're older, is like, you don't ever feel old.
Yeah.
You don't ever, like, look at the number and be like, yep, that's appropriate. It's always like, wait, what? This is happening to me? Like, it sure is, dude. You're in your mid-40s.
Yeah.
This is exactly, I can't have a heart attack. I'm only, what, 46? That's when people have heart attacks.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a crazy age.
No.
For this shit to be happening. And it's always like, oh, well, I can get to it later. One of these days.
Mm-hmm. Dog. Yeah, I'm guilty of that. I'm definitely guilty of that, of just one day I'll, you know, just that's on my to-do list, but I keep putting it off. And I think too, growing up in the South, just, you know, so much obesity and stuff down there, my whole childhood, I always knew someone's dad or someone's uncle who was not old, but was just riddled with health problems. Looking back at it now, like, and at the time you think, you know, oh, well, you know, Andy's uncle, he's an old guy, you know, no wonder he's limping around and he's 100 pounds. And then now you grow up and you're like, oh, wait, I'm older than he was. Like, now I'm older than that. Those people were.
And anybody who was like really took care of themselves was almost viewed as like vain.
Yeah, vain, or, you know, kind of, you know, bougie or
just
sissy
look
boy.
At, yeah, they're just all just trim. Oh, they just, they go to the gym. They really... It was kind of not like in a aggro way, but there was definitely an attitude of like, why aren't you undoing your pants at the end of Thanksgiving? Oh, you ate a sensible amount.
Yeah.
Like, there was always kind of this. Yeah, there was always like an attitude about it.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody tried to take care of themselves.
And what scares me too is I look back now and I think about, I had a, not a girlfriend, but a gal I kind of dated in high school. And her dad used to jog, and he was fit. And he had a heart attack at 39. And now I think about that, and I'm like, okay, that guy was 6 years younger and a lot fitter than I am now, and that dude had a heart attack. My dad had a real good friend who died of a heart attack at 32 who was not obese.
There's anomalies for sure.
Yeah. So I think about that shit.
I mean, my mom still smokes, and the doctor's like, yeah, your lungs sound great.
Really? How's that possible?
So, yeah. Everything's built different, but you can look at, like, statistics and be like, all right, these things are bad for you, and more often than not, they will result in something bad happening. There's going to be the story of somebody like, I smoke and drank and lived to 100. There's always going to be that story, and people hang on to that story, just like everybody in L.A. hangs on to the story about, like, well, so-and-so didn't start
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy till they were 50, or so-and-so moved here with $3 in their pocket, and then they were going to move, but they got an acting job. It's like, yeah, but you're not looking at the streets filled with homeless people who did the same thing, and then it never worked out for them.
Yeah, true.
There's play. Well, that person smoked and drank, and then they died when they were 37. Like, there's a lot of those stories, too. We just believe, we just like the fairy tales to keep us going.
Yeah, and I think I, you know, I mean, I'm fairly self-aware, but I just, I think because other than, I mean, I know I'm contradicting myself talking about how bad this week was, but for the most part, I am in good health in terms of, like, I don't feel bad most of the time. You know, my joints don't hurt too bad, even though I know I'm carrying a lot of extra weight. So I'm just like, well, I guess I'm one of those people that can handle this. And then it's like, dude, you're fucking, Russian roulette.
I'm sure mentally, you know, every time you go out to exercise, all the little twinks are hitting on you. So that probably boosts you thinking you're doing great.
Yeah.
Like, how could I be unhealthy when all these fellas are all up on me?
Yeah, and I still, you know, and again, self-aware, I know I'm not 21 anymore, but I still feel somewhat spry and capable and confident. But, you know, you just look at the facts and you're like, dude, you're fucking, you're pushing it. And I just absolutely hated that feeling of having no strength, no energy, no anything. And I'm like, man, thank God this is just the flu or something else and not, you know, coronary disease or diabetes. Or
Take advantage of it, people. We got one sunny week. It's cold out here, but it's sunny. So I've been out, met Sean Jordan. Rachel and I met Sean Jordan at the one skate park here. But that was one of those days where I was like, we've been taking Valerian root to go to bed around here.
Oh, yeah?
That stuff will knock you off kilter stronger than weed sometimes. But so that's a side story. So we went to the skate park 2 days ago, but I was like groggy, so I wasn't really messing. Like, not like I could do anything anyway, but it was one of those kind of like, oh, this is dangerous for you to be here even wobbling around. But then yesterday went out to the little paved pump track they have here, and I got rad adjacent.
Hell yeah.
It really is one of those like fucking sit and feel 46 and be like, all right, do it now. Instead of feeling old, I'm like, well, am I going to do this when I'm 50? That's what's awesome about riding bikes up here, especially BMX bikes. It's all the other dude I was hanging out with at the pump track, which is basically like a paved BMX track.
Okay.
He's 50, and that dude rips. And there's other dudes in there that are like pushing 40. It's all old dudes up here.
Yeah.
Riding bikes. I went to the skate park last week, and it was all dudes like in 30s and 40s. Like, oh, this is great. And there's no attitude. At that point, they're old enough, there's no attitude.
No ego.
Of like, who's this kook? Who's this poser? It's like, we're all just... I mean, those guys are good. I don't get in their way, but it's awesome. And it's one of those things, like, I can feel old about doing it, or I could just ignore my age for the sake of doing fun things, not for the sake of, like, I should start smoking again or something like that.
No, that's great. It's awesome that you have, like, an activity, something active that you enjoy. And I think that's been part of my problem is I've yet to really – I mean, obviously there's physical things that I love to do, but they're not – like baseball and basketball, but yeah. I need other people to do that.
You got to get a gang.
Yeah, but I gotta find those solitary things that I can do that I don't look at it as like exercise, or you know, look at it as recreation, not necessarily exercise.
For the batting cages, as Zach Toscani was up here for about a week, and he's got like he's hilarious. I don't know if you know Zach.
Yeah.
He's great, and he's got a joke about something. It's just something about being sad. He's like, "Oh, how about this for being sad? What if you ever saw a kid going to the batting cages just with a mitt, the roll of quarters that said dad on it?" I'm like, "Oh man, that's a good one, Zach."
Oh man, yeah, I just. It's just a terrible feeling to just know that you're not playing with all your energy bars.
You drinking your fluids, Dave? You got Pedialyte? What you drinking?
Dude, I've been drinking so much.
Just bourbon. It's not doing the trick.
Dude, I don't want to be too graphic, but what I've been through just dehydrates you. It's insane.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's insane how much it dehydrates you. And I've been chugging water and Gatorade, and still
good.
My fucking piss looks like gasoline. It's insane.
Maybe that's why,
a wild ride.
Maybe it's not dehydration. You just got so many electrolytes in your body.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt that. But
yeah. We hope you get better.
And then, you know, having trouble sleeping just because I've been in bed and, you know, napping here and there throughout the day. And then nighttime, when it's time to sleep, you know, I'm just wired. And so then I'm taking fucking, what did I take? Not NyQuil, but the NyQuil makes a sleep thing. Z thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I just sleep.
So, yeah, I've been taking that. And then it's like giving me. I think I mixed that with a Tylenol PM the other night, and then something happened to where I was completely groggy and like wanted to sleep, but it was like it felt like I took a bunch of NyQuil mixed with a bunch of Red Bull, even though that's not what I did. I just took two different sleep aids, but like I just had this weird feeling of like where I'm kind of half in and out, but at the same time like jittery. It's just it's just not been a fun week.
You're all jacked up, buddy.
Yeah.
You taking any weed gummies to sleep, maybe?
No, I puffed on a little indica last night, and that helped. I don't mess with the indica too much just because it usually puts me down, but I thought, well, let me try some of this, and it helped some. But
Well, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm rounding the corner. Today's the best day I've felt in a week. So,
and I was let's talk about a little bit of stuff.
Yeah, what you been up to,
man? Get some stuff out there.
Yeah, anything exciting?
I've just been like I said, it was sunny this week, so I was trying to just get rad adjacent a couple days. I was gonna say, I don't know if this is like turning into a self-help podcast, but like I started to enjoy going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I started maybe it's just I'm not trying to be young and hot and meet somebody there so I can just look like a fucking idiot on all the equipment and
yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just listen to whatever I want to listen to. I do what I want to do and I go have a schvitz.
There you go.
I go sit in the seat. I think I was taking prednisone. Speaking of, like, I had a gout flare up a few weeks back. They put me on prednisone, which is a steroid. I got my skin is just destroyed from taking, like, because you know, steroids give you acne.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. My skin is all nuts right now.
Really?
Yeah. And I think it's because I was, like, had to taper up. I don't know. But anyway, that's my small medical malady. But otherwise, man, just getting ready. I'm coming down to L.A. We'll record some in person in a week, Dave.
Yeah.
Excited about that.
Excited, man. Come on over to the record room. I'll
Yeah, enough time for you to fumigate.
I was about to say, I'll have it all aired out.
I'll bring some candles. I'll bring some nice candles. I'll go to Sephora, get some good candles.
Yeah.
Yeah, back down there for a few days and just trying to not be bothered by shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting in my head about some stuff. I was like, it's sunny out. Go ride your bike. Go ride your children's bike with a bunch of other grown men over in a park next to a giant homeless encampment.
Oh, man.
It's gnarly here. They got like a tractor trailer and everything at this one encampment.
Oh, really?
I don't know how they got a semi truck.
And that's
this camp got a semi truck.
That's not like a organization's supply truck or anything. They've like
No. This is a camp where they got a semi truck and trailer.
That's a score.
Amongst all their like torn up cars and campers and tents. I thought those were kept track of.
You would think. I mean,
unless it's just an old one that it was somebody that was also like,
Yeah.
Unless somebody stole it, like it was like left on the side of the highway and somebody stole it, and somebody, I'd like rather just take the insurance than try and.
Yeah, I guess just like any automobile, you know, you could.
Yeah, it is gnarly here. You know, the stuff people talk about, like the homeless encampments. It's in the sections, it's in areas, but you get to those areas and you're like, wow, this is nuts. But I don't know. Let's try and go good vibes, buddy. Let's try and keep it positive.
All right, then I won't talk about the insane L.A. crime spree that we're crime.
Well,
let's.
In the middle of. Okay. Well, here's the road rage dude got caught.
Road rage dude got caught. Glad to see that piece of shit get caught. What a fucking putz! What a fucking moron that guy was. I was really hoping I'd run across him. But, yeah, glad to see he's behind bars right now. They gave him like
thank God you were sick this week, Dave. That's true. Otherwise, that guy would have been in trouble.
That's true.
If it wasn't for all this diarrhea, that guy would have been in a lot of hot water. If it wasn't for all this hot water my body's making, that guy would have been in some real hot water.
Oh, my God. What a fucking putz that guy was. It's funny. The guy looks like an actor, and I don't know the guy's name, but there's an actor / comedian. I think this actor was on Ted Lasso, but this actor was on a show, on a comedy show in L.A. the other day, and I saw the poster. I was like, holy shit, that's the guy. Like, for like 5 seconds,
oh, no,
I thought that was the guy.
That's the guy. I know who you're talking about.
Goldstein?
Brett Goldstein.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And
for like 5 seconds, I thought that
like
was the
great
guy.
Apparently, yeah, I didn't realize that guy's a stand-up comedian because he's such like a grumpy dude in Ted Lasso.
Yeah, but yeah, the guy looks a lot like him.
I think
like
he's a creator. Like, I think he was a writer on the show. Mm-hmm. He didn't even want to be on the show, and then they put him in.
Oh, really?
The show, and he won like some acting award for it.
Good for him.
But yeah, I see it. Nathaniel Radomack.
Yeah.
They got him. They got him.
This motherfucker's punching old ladies in the eye. What the fuck? Now, if anybody can sympathize with road rage, it's me. I get it. I lose my temper. I've never fucking pulled out a pipe and hit someone's car, punching an old lady.
We've heard.
What
the
fuck is wrong with people? You're going around punching women in the eye? Like, ugh.
I think my man has a rage issue.
No shit. But yeah, man, it's chaos, dude. I don't know what's going on around here. I don't know if it's one of those cases where it's the same, but I'm just seeing more news reports. But 2 miles from my house, three women in their 30s got shot to death in a car in Beverly Crest, which is the neighborhood just north of Beverly Hills, up in the hills there. Three women got murdered a few days ago just sitting in a car at 2 a.m., yesterday, the cops found a dude at a high-rise apartment 3 miles from my home, right on Sunset, right near where Rachel used to work, Sunset and Gordon. There's a high-rise apartment building. The 24-year-old dude had a couple of AR-15s, rifles, 1,000 rounds of ammo, and this is the most disturbing part of it, and gun tripods set up in his window, pointed down at the neighboring dog park. They think this motherfucker was about to
Sunset
pull a fucking
Gordon,
mass
huh?
shooting. Yeah, this just happened yesterday. I'm sure you heard about the Lunar New Year thing in Monterey Park, the Asian guy shot
Sunset
a bunch of folks.
Gordon.
There was a whole family got murdered out in San Bernardino this week. And then, I don't know if you heard about this, like a month ago, I don't know the exact city, but kind of in the central coast of California, somewhere up in central California, there was a fucking cartel murder. A whole six people got murdered, including a baby. And they think the cartel, the Mexican drug cartel, did it. It's just every day there's something like, not just like petty crime, something insane happening in L.A. or Southern California.
Well, and you do know that once you start looking at one story, the algorithm is going to give you the other
stories. Of course,
yeah,
I get that.
You're going to...
But regardless, that's a lot of fucking shit going down in a centralized area in a small amount of time. Like, it's pretty disturbing. But yeah, this fucker yesterday found 1,000 rounds of ammo, bunch of automatic weapons, and tripods set up, pointed down at the neighboring park. And he was apparently making comments to neighbors and stuff about mass shootings.
It's always wild when these guys can still afford like a good place to live.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at this building. It's a nice building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wasn't a great joke, but it's just about like when like oh, and then they escaped from this killer's basement. And I'm like, oh, these serial killers still have house money?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, this is a. What's right here? Oh, it's across from the Emerson College. It's across from your beloved Arby's, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right next to Roscoe's.
Oh God! What if he was just? It's a weird place. Okay. Yeah, it's got balconies up there. I'm looking at the street view. That's fucked.
Mm-hmm. And then, did you see the Paul Pelosi video?
I did not watch. I'm trying to like not
that
consume
was
as much.
Fucking insane. I mean, that's just nuts. We don't have to get into all
I
that.
I saw some of it, what did they answer the door, and then the guy was
answer the door.
He's like holding his arm.
Yeah, they're both standing there, and you can't quite figure out what's going on. And then the perp has a hammer, and then the cop just kind of casually says, "You know, why don't you drop that hammer?" And he just goes, "Nope." And then Pelosi bolts out of frame. And then immediately the guy follows him, and you can see him swinging a hammer
going
at him.
For it, yeah.
Just what the fuck is going on with everybody?
I mean, this is the hard. Is there more crime, or are we just seeing more of it because the internet and the algorithm is feeding it to us?
And then the fucker up in Oregon, Grants Pass. I'm sure you heard about that. That broke today.
Oh yeah, Grants Pass is filled with weirdos.
That piece of shit. Fucking
be driving through there
torturing women and fucking killed himself like a fucking coward. Let's talk about home security, specifically Simply Safe Home Security. Would you do everything it took to protect your family? Of course you would. That's why I recommend Simply Safe Home Security. They make it easy to protect every inch of your home with advanced security tech powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. Here's why I recommend it. First of all, it's easy to use. I downloaded the app. They walked me through each step. Took me about 30 minutes to have it up and running. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. Simply Safe is designed with cutting-edge security technology and powered by 24/7 professional monitoring. In an emergency, Simply Safe's professional monitoring agents use Fast Protect technology to capture critical evidence and verify the threat is real, so you can get priority police dispatch. You can lock and unlock your doors, access your cameras, and arm and disarm your system from anywhere. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/boogie. That's S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/boogie. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off your order with interactive monitoring. That's simplysafe.com/boogie. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, today's episode of the Boogie Monster brought to you by Athletic Greens, a.k.a. AG1. I've been taking Athletic Greens now for, a couple of years? I take it almost every day. Not every day. But I started taking it because, obviously, it's an ongoing battle with my health and fitness, as I talk about this week, being under the weather. Got to put a little more focus into the diet. And I started taking it because I knew that, I don't do well when it comes to discipline and diet. And I figured this is one of the easiest things I can do to start my day. I take it around noon, still trying to do the intermittent fasting, eat my first meal at around noon. So I take that first, and then I just play chicken with my appetite and see how long I can wait until I actually need to eat a real meal. But plus, AG1, Athletic Greens, it's got everything I need in terms of just a quick fix to start my day with some solid nutrition. Years ago, when I was really into fitness, I would take, three or four different things. I was taking supplements. I was taking protein powders. I was taking all kind of stuff. AG1 is designed with ease in mind so you can live a healthier and better life without having to do a lot. That's the part I like the most, without having to do a lot. Just one scoop, 8 to 12 ounces of water. You shake it up. There's no blender. You don't have to wash or peel any veggies. It doesn't taste bad. It's got a nice light tropical flavor. Every scoop is packed with 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality that give me major benefits like gut and mood support, boosted energy, even healthier looking skin, hair, and nails. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/boogie. That's athleticgreens.com/boogie. Check it out. Anyway, you said good vibes. My bad. You said
good
vibes.
Yeah, I was trying to go. I thought because the one guy got caught, and I'm like, well, this is a lot of success story. A lot of these people got caught, so I guess that's like good, you know. Let me try and spin it. You know, let me try and spin it here, buddy.
I saw a weird thing that happened right in front of my apartment the other day, and I'm hoping this is all above board. But one of those, we've got a bunch of those little robots in LA now that like deliver food. Have you seen these things?
Oh yeah,
these things are pretty interesting. But one was rolling down the street the other day. I'm sitting at our front table looking out. We got this nice window that kind of overlooks our block. And I'm like, oh shit, there's one of those robots, and it just stops. Yeah. And then like 30 seconds later, a U-Haul van pulls up, and two guys get out and they load it up. And to this day, I don't know if that was arranged or not. I don't know if that was a robot theft or that was just part of the robot team. But I'm serious. It was a either a Hertz or it was a rental van. And the
robot
two,
napping.
And the two guys, they looked a little, I'm not talking about how they, their appearance, but their body language, I couldn't tell if they were kidnapping it, but they were kind of a little frantic. Maybe I'm just reading into it wrong, but I was like, wait a minute, am I watching?
Maybe it was trying to think for itself like a Johnny Five.
But yeah,
we're gonna have a Johnny Five situation. We're gonna have a Wally. One of these things is just gonna want to be loved. And they're like, "No, you need to deliver this Arby's to this mass shooter at the apartment." So, and the robot's gonna be like, "Guys, this guy was a little weird. Like, shut up, robot."
But yeah, I'm assuming that they worked for a company that was scheduled to go and pick up that robot. But the fact that they were in a rental van and they looked a little—I mean, I don't even remember what their appearance looked like. But I thought they were kind of looking around a little too much, like they were stealing something. So who knows? I haven't seen.
What would you get out of the? Out of like having one of those.
Well, and I assume too that like it's like those scooters. Like nobody bothers to steal those things because they got all the tracking devices and GPS shit on them. I mean, but yeah, I don't
but
know.
Have you ever seen the guys that round up like the rental bikes, the ones that don't need to be returned to stations?
Yeah.
And they have to go around at night in the scooter. They go around at night to pick them up and bring them back to like a central locations. I don't know. That's. Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get out of it. I think they're probably. I don't know. You got me.
I don't know.
Oh, this gunman, this Hollywood gunman name. His name was Braxton.
Braxton.
Yeah, that's not.
Good for him.
Yeah, Braxton ain't going to be moving around soon.
I got. All right, here's some lighter news on a personal note. I've always been disgusted and repulsed by Taco Bell. However, Katie
I had Taco Bell the other night.
Katie likes the bean and cheese burrito over there, but she came home with I don't know what the official name of these things are, but for lack of a better term, little Taco Bell donuts, and little donuts with cream filled in the middle, little cream filled donut puffs. Not a donut per se, like a donut ball, like a donut hole.
Churro.
No, stuff just churro. little like churro balls and best fast food dessert I've ever had.
I'm looking it up right now.
Best fast food dessert I've ever put in my mouth.
Cinnabon Delights. Yeah,
A+.
That's what
A++.
You really that offended by Taco Bell?
It's disgusting. I'm very offended by it. Yeah. Do better.
online exclusives. Now I'm on the website and I'm getting excited. Quesarito's back. All right, never mind. All right. Well,
like you didn't have time to go down that rabbit hole.
I didn't know it was online exclusives. I didn't know you had to like really know the secret code for a quesarito. I'm like going through extra steps.
Oh man.
So we both watched Paul T. Goldman this week. So probably spoilers included.
Fuck that guy.
But maybe not really spoilers included.
I'd say
listen at your own risk if you're planning on watching it, because I want to talk about Paul T. Goldman.
What a fucking putz. Grow some fucking balls. And all right, ugh. I don't mix well with these type of dudes.
Hold on a second, Dave. Let's let people know what the show's about.
Okay.
Now, this fella, several years ago, had gone on Twitter and just like basically reached out to everybody and anybody about like, I have a crazy story that I've already written a book about, and it would make a great, you know, great material, great story for Hollywood. And he just at anybody's handle related to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the filmmaker, Jason Wolliner, who has directed like episodes of Nathan for You and everything, he was like one of the only guys who took him up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're already doing a Nathan for You type of thing, let's see what else has he got. He directed the last Borat movie too. So stuff where unsuspecting public. Oh, he did like Human Giant stuff, and he's done some like regular fiction stuff. But you know, okay. So he's also been in the mix of like unsuspecting public kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And for the record, I'm not saying I didn't like the show. Was entertaining, and I'm not shitting.
I know
on that
I'm
director.
Trying to set up.
It's this guy. It's a fucking
guy. I'm trying to set up the background here. Uh-huh. I'm trying to like people who haven't seen it. I'm trying to let them know what's going on, Dave. We got people listening to this that don't know what we're talking about. We got to let them in. So, this is who responded to this wild card character tweeting at anybody who might listen. It's a guy who has made films where the unsuspecting public is the brunt of the humor.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm setting this up, because then this movie starts. We're like, okay, we meet this guy, Paul T. Goldman. He's a guy who thinks he has a wild story about a wife, the gal that he met and married, who he suspects is actually a prostitute and part of a prostitution ring. This guy has a wild imagination and not in a Walter Mitty type of escapism sense. He believes that his wife is like a lot of stuff is going on. This guy thinks, and he's like, this story would be great for Hollywood.
What would you think is wrong with this guy? Is this classic autism, or is he just a fucking idiot? Or
I think he's got something.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely something going on there.
No, he's off. You know, this guy's off. Let's put it that way.
And no offense to people. No offense to autistic people. You know, I'm trying. If he is autistic, I would cut him some slack. Or is some people are just good old fashioned.
I think it's a narcissism. I would say it's a narcissism. He's the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Quite literally, he's written a book where this story happens. And he's saying this is a true story. And the whole thing, even the first episode, it's like, but did that happen? He's like, no, but the rest of it's true.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what he keeps saying about his story.
Sure.
And so the more that, but now they're also, he wrote a screenplay. This Paul T. Goldman wrote a screenplay based on his book. So Jason Wolliner is also making a movie from his screenplay while making a documentary about this guy.
So that was my question. The reenactment stuff, that was a real movie that he was making? Like when Paul T. Goldman is acting, that's a movie that they were... Was that a real movie, or was that just for the purpose of the documentary?
Both.
Okay.
It was a screenplay that this fella, Paul T. Goldman, wants to make as a movie. So they're shooting these scenes while also making a documentary about this guy. But this is where, like, okay, this is where, like, I have my qualms of, like,
yes,
just because somebody's wants the attention is like, well, no, I put it out in the world because I want people to hear this story. But if you know, if you can give them the attention, but you know that they're not well, what morally, what is the right thing to do?
They should have called the show Humoring an Idiot.
Okay. But I'm trying to go past that right now. Morally, this is a person that's not well, but it's like, you should make a movie about me, but it's a crazy person. And if you know that's a crazy person and making a movie about that crazy person isn't going to do well for that crazy person, do you still make the movie?
Well, see, that was my problem.
Because now you're being entertained by somebody's maladjusted life or misfortune.
Yeah.
You're not being entertained by this person the way that person feels you should be entertained by them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you know that consciously, you know that. It's like, who was I talking to about this? Sean Jordan, I think. It's like bum fights.
Mm-hmm.
Sean or somebody else the other night. It's like bum fights where you're watching it and the people are making, like, what? We gave them each $100. That's what they want, $100. You're like, yeah, but it's not.
Yeah.
What you did isn't good.
Yeah, I agree.
But they could see, like, well, actually, they're better now because I gave them $100. And it's like, this is the kind of thing, like, this guy is like, you should make a movie about my story. But he's not making the story that this guy, Paul T. Goldman, wants to be made. He's making fun of him. But he's not making fun of him. It's one of those, like, give him enough rope and let him hang themselves scenarios.
But, yeah, and my problem with the overall production was, okay, I get that this, like, the whole Chronicles part and the whole him acting in his movie. Like, okay, I get that. Why did they waste so much film and manpower on shooting those scenes? And why did they make the viewer sit through awful acting, awful storytelling? Like, all that shit was like, okay, you could have shown a fraction of that just to show that that's what he wanted to do.
You're laughing at it.
But, yeah, see, that was...
Yeah, because you're laughing at what this guy thinks is good. It's like everything, like The Room, you know?
I've still never seen the original. I hated it. Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. You hated it because you went going to see a real movie.
Mm-hmm. But people who praise it, like, oh, like the whole cult phenomenon behind it. I had friends that came out back when I was living in Atlanta, and like I had a whole group of friends who just, oh, we got to go see it. They went and saw it multiple times. I'm like, why are the fact that they even wasted film on this piece of shit, like, you're just wasting everybody's time. Like, who gives
a fuck?
Clearly
not, if people were going back multiple times to see it.
Like, you're just humoring a moron.
But they're not. They're going because they had a great time laughing at something that was bad. I believe the term is irony.
But yeah, that goes back to what your point
never,
is, though.
Did you ever laugh? Did you ever watch such a bad comic that you had a good time because of how bad they were?
Not really, because I can't get over the fact that that fucker on stage has taken up someone else's spot. Like, he's not taking it seriously. You're wasting everybody's fucking time. Get the fuck off stage.
No, but okay, this is where I argue with you. What if they are taking it seriously? Paul T. Goldman churned out more scripts than fucking 90% of the people I know in LA that say they're writing scripts.
Good point.
That guy has more output than any comedian that says they're working on a project.
But
and went out of his way to get stuff done.
If it's 100% pure,
you can't say they're
shit.
Not taking it seriously. But you can't say they're not taking it seriously.
Yeah. There was a similar movie years ago called Windy City Heat. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was
Oh, yeah.
And that was kind of the same principle of, like, Okay. That one was a little easier to swallow just because the guy was such a fucking asshole that you didn't feel bad laughing at him. But it's
I thought
still,
that was just a joke. I thought they didn't know. I have not seen Woody City. I know about it.
If I remember it correctly, and this is just the broad strokes, but it was Jimmy Kimmel, Adam Carolla, that whole crew. But they had a real-life acquaintance who was just this loose end asshole. This just live wire just and clearly had some issues. And I think he was wanted to be an actor, and then the whole joke was like, hey dude, you got cast a star in a movie. And he's like, really? And then they shot this whole fucking fake movie, and the whole time this idiot thinks he's shooting a real movie, but really we're all like, hi, this idiot thinks he's shooting a real movie. But that one was a little easier to swallow because he was such an asshole that you're like, okay, maybe he deserves what he's getting. And not that this Paul T. Fucknuts is not an asshole too, but it just, this just felt like such a waste of time. All the scenes of his chronicles in the actual fake movie was like, I kept asking, why are they making us sit through this? Like, why, like, show a fraction of it, but like, there was a couple of those scenes that were like 5-10 minutes long of these fake horrible movie. And it just, the fact that...
Yeah, because you're laughing at, or maybe presuming that the viewer would be laughing at the fact that it's bad. Because this is what this guy thinks is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like outside, it's like outsider art. It's like, what's the Austin musician that...
Daniel Johnston?
Yeah. You know, it's outsider art, but then it's also like this guy, the director, sat with this project for 10 years making this on and off. And then the story unfolding that, oh, this whole thing is a figment of this guy's imagination.
Yeah. Because he got conned. Because you're a fucking putz and you
yeah, no, he is a putz.
And his whole...
And so that's part of the story that's fascinating is like, oh, this guy went through great lengths of creating all these stories instead of just quietly being like, yep, I'm a sucker. He created this world out of it, not in a whimsical way, because he's still like, he was still shitty. Like, I'm not saying the dude's not shitty.
Yeah.
But that's why it's almost like the creators make it feel like that's why it's okay to laugh at him, because he's still a shitty dude who's like pointing fingers and accusing these people of all these different things just because he's a putz. But then the movie makes no qualm. It's not hiding the fact that he's a putz.
Yeah. That whole angle of like, I'm going to take down a prostitution ring. Like, he was treating that like, first of all, who gives a shit? It's not like it was a pedophile ring. Something like that, I get. It's, like, okay,
it's not about who get. It's about that he gives a shit. Yeah. I think you missed the point entirely.
No, from no his offense. From his
I think
no,
you
from his point.
Truly
of view.
Missed the point of why you would watch this thing.
No, but from his point of view, I want to say, hey man, who gives a shit if she is in a prostitution ring? Okay,
exactly.
Conned.
That's addressed, but Dave, that's addressed in it when the woman talking to him was like, "Well, a lot of these words are outdated."
Yeah,
and also, sex work isn't like, you know, why frown on it? And then when he does the created Q&A, manufactured Q&A, and a girl's like, well, isn't getting a mail order bride part of sex work? Like, Dave, all the things you're mad about are addressed in it.
Yeah.
They're like, all these things are addressed.
Yeah, I think I'm mad at myself for spending so much time watching such a fucking moron.
I thought it was interesting. You're not watching it. You're not watching it because he's the main character. You're watching it because, I mean, he is the main character, but not in a hero sense.
Yeah.
You know, like in a look at, let's shine a light on this nut. But that's the thing. So the end result is still now the world knows about this dude Paul T. Goldman, and we all think he's a putz. Is that morally? That's my question. Is it ethically okay to do that? Even though, like, at the guy wants his story told, but then this is how it got told. The guy wanted the attention. Now he got the attention, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Is it bad? Because, like, I don't think he's mentally capable of realizing.
Well, I guess that's the question. You know, is this guy, does he have...
Be careful what you wish for, I guess.
Exactly.
Phrase.
But I the question is, where's the line between good old-fashioned dipshit and... an actual mental illness.
Well, that's a question for the ages, Dave.
But yeah.
But it, I mean, that's I like watching open mics.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like, I mean, I like comedy. I like seeing my friends try new stuff. I like seeing somebody that, oh, shit, that person's real funny. Or I can tell that person is going to be real funny. Mm-hmm. And then the people that have no concern for the, lack of a better term, art of stand-up, but go up because they think they're just the shit and eat it for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's the funniest part of an open mic to me, is watching somebody get their ass handed to them who thought they were going to knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at them the way they want me to laugh at them, but I'm laughing at them.
Yeah.
So that's how this, that's the vein that this movie was in. Now, that's the thing. Am I wrong for laughing at them? They signed up. These people signed up for an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
They signed up to have an audience. And if that audience is like, man, you fucking suck. That's all right. That you signed up for it.
Yeah.
We've all had a night where we've been the ones that have fucking sucked.
Oh yeah.
But this is a whole movie on a major platform. Yeah. So, or a series rather, series. But I thought it was an interesting watch. I had my qualms with like any of the shows where the public was. Even some of the Jackass stuff, it was funny when they did it to themselves, but when they really made, like, throwing the mannequins off bridges and stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's...
Yeah, I never, like... I hate pranks. I hate pranks on the unsuspecting public. Like, that's been going around now, like, with TikTok and stuff. Yeah. Like, these fucking TikTok pranksters, they're going out here doing
watching
shit, and then they're
watching
getting
a TikTok prankster...
Get his ass
watching
kicked.
Watching them get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
That's the only video I want to see.
Yeah, that's what happens, fuckface. Like, I ain't in on the prank, so go fuck yourself.
Like, is a mass shooter at fault if he's like, I just was aiming at TikTok pranksters? There.
There's
question
your,
for the...
There's your moral dilemma right there. Ugh.
No, that stuff... Yeah, doing it for internet clout. The only internet clout I want you to get is you getting your ass kicked. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to see. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I just...
I don't think...
That whole thing of just... That's part of my problem with show business in general. Just the... I don't have any talent, but I want to be famous. I want to be a star. That's my problem with like the whole American Idol thing. I want to be a star. Really? How many shitty bar gigs have you done? How many years have you struggled on the road? None? You woke up, you're 18, you're good looking, you woke up and you want to be a star. Okay, got it.
Natasha Leggero's great joke when American Idol was first like coming on the air. She's like, if these are the people we're making idols out of, who's going to slice the lunch meat? I do think there's harmless. That's the thing. There's harmless stuff. Like the video, the guy's got like a little fart machine, but he's like always jogging and just making ripping loud, wet farts around people in the park.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That one's funny.
I mean, yeah.
He's not hurting anybody. He's not ruining anybody's day. He's running by and going, oh, mommy. And then people laugh. That's it. That's it. That's you didn't physically touch anybody. You didn't do anything to him. You didn't put anybody in like a state of shock or fear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody in a medical condition, if they heard a fart, would be like, oh, God, my blood pressure, my glucose, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that. Oh, boy. But, yeah, what a putz. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that is the appeal of these type of shows. It's like, should we feel bad about laughing at an idiot or not?
If the idiot wants to, if the idiot doesn't know they're an idiot,
mm-hmm.
and they want attention given to them,
yeah.
But that was like, wasn't that the whole like Howard Stern type thing and having people? I never listened to Howard Stern. I would never into it.
Never did anything.
Were you a Howard
for
Stern
me?
Guy?
No, not at all. I don't have an aversion to him. It just, other than maybe his accent, some of that New York accent stuff is hard for me to sit around and listen to. But
it's like, oh, this guy's an under-intelligent individual.
I see why
people
like
him. We're laughing at him, but he's famous because of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get the appeal to someone like Stern, but it just never connected with me. Oh, man. Hey, I wanted to ask you about this. I know you've had some issues in the past, like with in regards to ticket prices and scalpers and what have you. I got all excited because Willie Nelson is coming to town, celebrating his 90th birthday, doing a two-night stint at the Hollywood Bowl with a bunch of amazing guests, a lot of musicians that I'm a fan of, Sturgill Simpson, Tyler Childers, all kinds of folks. And I thought, boy, I sure would like to go see that. What's a ticket to that going to cost? You know, $150, $200? Cheapest ticket, the cheapest one I found. And I guess my question, I don't know, I should have done more research, but I guess this is the actual market, not the black market or the resale market or the scalper's market. Cheapest ticket on the website that they were promoting to go get tickets at, $700. Ranging, I saw some that were $5,500. I'd like to think that that's not Willie's idea of charging the cheapest ticket $700. What the fuck is going on with that? I get that that's a big show. There's a ton of other stars. I wasn't expecting a $30 ticket, but Jesus Christ, $700 cheapest ticket.
I'm looking right now. What we got? It's a 2-day ticket.
No,
$600. It's a 2-day ticket. It's for Saturday and Sunday. These tickets are for 2 days.
Oh, I thought for sure the one I looked at was just for 1 day. Okay, maybe that's the confusion.
$600 for 2 days, which I guess they won't sell you a ticket for 1 day.
Oh, okay, that's what it is. You have to buy the 2-day. Okay, well then that makes my complaint a little.
Is 90-year-old Will? I mean, the rest of the show looks good. Is 90-year-old? That guy is just a pinata of rolling papers and stems at this point.
No, I
don't know
it.
If that guy.
I'm a huge fan. He's one of my favorites, but I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're not getting. You're not getting prime 1974.
We're leaning on the back line pretty hard for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so discouraging.
But yeah, it looks like it's a 2-day ticket. You gotta.
Okay. Well, my grievance isn't quite as great now.
Okay.
But yeah, what's that does pose a question. What's who's a band you would pay the most to see? Or a show like this? Is there somebody?
Man,
somebody you'd pay $500 to go see?
It's more about like would I travel to see them? There's a band called Sludgeworth that's going to be playing back in Chicago, and I'm going to be out of town for it. I would pay to go back to see the show, but the show's going to be $20. I can't think of an act. I mean, I paid some money to see Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm. What'd you pay for those tickets? You mind telling us?
I don't remember. I think I got him through UTA or the agency or whatever. I still had to pay for him, but I got like agency rate.
Yeah, I could see that being a pretty hefty ticket.
Yeah, but it wasn't obscene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's one of those things like if a band's going to charge that much, I kind of get mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's not the resale price and the band is like, yeah, we're going to. You're going to give me a $500 show? What are you going to do for a $500 show?
That's a lot of pressure you're putting on yourself.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We paid... Well, no, because it's still... We went and saw Bob Seger, but it's like, yeah, we're all getting a limo. We're like, we're going to do fun stuff. I mean, it's one of those, like, am I going to get box seats? Am I going to sit... I can't think of what I would spend that money for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't think of a band that would be like, yeah, we will charge this much. I don't go to see professional musicians play.
Yeah, I had the same thought. I'd rather fly to New Orleans to see the Drive-By Truckers and all, you know, get a hotel and a plane. I'd rather spend the money on something like that than just going to see one show in the town I live in that costs that much.
And if a band's charging that much, it's mean they've been around for a long time, which means they're older and not as charismatic and fun as they used. Like,
true.
When I saw Beastie Boys in 94, it's still the best live show I've ever seen.
Really?
Because it was my excitement to see them was matched by their performance.
Okay.
And nice. If I could recapture that show,
uh-huh.
which I can't, you know, some people have passed on.
Yeah.
I would pay $500 to be able to see that show again.
Yeah,
but I can't
I
think of who's playing now. Mm-hmm. I don't like, you know, I'm not that I don't like, but I'm not a lot of like heritage musicians or something like, you know, people that have been in the scene for a long time. Mm-hmm. Just like, good for you. I don't, can't see why.
Yeah.
Go spend a bunch of money though.
Man, well, I was laid up. When I wasn't on the toilet, I was in the bed watching movies. Katie told me I couldn't do any boogie research while I was laid up. She's like, you need to be completely unrestricted and completely comfortable. So I was like, all right, I was gonna do some.
Wouldn't let you look at your laptop.
She wouldn't let me watch my YouTube videos of cryptids. I watched some good. Man, I watched two really intense movies back to back just by chance. Just didn't know anything about them. Just looking at the thumbnail, reading the description. And they both were really good and really intense. First one, I think it's 2017. It's been out a couple of years, 5 years or so. The Killing of a Sacred Deer with Colin Farrell. Have you seen that one or heard about that one?
No.
Dude, psychological
a big
thriller.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah, ever since Banshees. I never gave two shits about Colin Farrell, but Banshees I loved, and it made me want to go back and revisit In Bruges. And I was like, oh, boy, that's...
They were selling him... Yeah, they were selling him as some heartthrob for the longest time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Turns out he writes a real good dimwit.
Yeah. Yeah, he was... but, yeah, he's in this, and one of the best psychological thrillers. And the younger fella who's in Banshees, what's his name? Shit. I guess I could look it up, but I had it on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, the younger fella in Banshees is in this movie, and he's kind of the main character. Well, Colin Farrell, too, but just absolutely crushed it. And I don't want to tell what it's about, but like psychological thriller, like moral dilemma, like
killing of a sacred deer. You say?
Yeah, holy shit! Okay. Like just the ending is a real holy shit moment. Then I watched a movie called Skin, and I think this one's just a year or two old, and it's neo-Nazi. Sees the errors of his ways, tries to escape the family, escape the gang. And this is based on a true story. So no spoiler, because this is based on a true story. But this dude, the main character, and then they at the end of the movie they show, I love that in movies where they show the real guy.
I watched a documentary, yeah. I watched a documentary about the real dude.
Yeah,
this.
Guy has all these crazy racist face tattoos and then spends like 2 years getting all that shit removed. And at the end, they show like a little sequence, a timeline of the real guy, a photo, what's the word, montage of, you know, those tats slowly coming off one by one and just how his appearance changes. But that was an intense movie, too. And the actor is a guy named Jamie Bell. He was in a bunch of like indie movies 15, 20 years ago when he was, you know, maybe a teen actor. I can't remember. I think a movie called The Chum Scrubber. He one of those like indie actors, kind of like a Paul Dano type that just showed up in a ton of indie movies, but just crushed it as the lead. Just great performance, great story. The female in it is great. She was in this movie called Baby Cakes that came out a couple years ago about a female rapper, kind of.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, female 8 Mile type story, but she's great. But, yeah, just watch those yesterday.
Danielle McDonald.
Yeah, she's awesome. But, yeah, watch those back to back. I was like, God damn. And Killing of a Sacred Deer, great movie. I really enjoyed it, but not literally. Oh, Nicole Kidman was in it. Literally, if I can remember correctly, not 1 second of levity. Nobody cracked a smile. Nobody laughed. Not one joke was told. Just fucking.
Is it Skin you're talking about?
Yeah. Killing of a Sacred Deer is the one I'm talking about now. About just zero levity.
Oh, okay.
Well, Skin had no levity either. But Yeah, it's just weird to watch a movie that's just that tense the whole time where you're like, fuck. Like, this is just, I don't want to spoil the setup, but just the plot sets itself up to where you're like, oh, shit. What's this fella going to do now? And, yeah, worth checking out. I really enjoyed it. Killing of a Sacred Deer and Skin. And I also, Katie and I, a couple days ago, watched Megan. And,
With the three?
Yeah.
Just a little robot baby?
Yeah, I mean, interesting concept.
Little robot baby?
Great concept. I feel like the execution missed the mark. But, you know, still entertaining, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You watch it at home, you go out to the movies?
We watch that one at home. Yeah.
Okay.
I only really go to the movies now when I'm craving popcorn.
I always I like going to the movies, but then I never go to the movies.
Yeah, I like going
there. I'm like, I got to go to the movies more often.
Yeah. And we went and saw Babylon just because I woke up craving popcorn and I wanted to support our boy Rory. That was entertaining. Did we talk about that?
You don't make – I don't know.
Grossest –
You liking popcorn? I think we've covered it.
Babylon, maybe the grossest scene I've ever seen in a movie within the first 3 minutes of the movie.
I think you did address it.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Meaning don't spoil anybody's meal.
And here's the other, and did we talk about this? I watched, last week we watched, we're trying to go through some of the Oscar-nominated movies. Watched Triangle of Sadness. Triangle of Sadness. This was kind of a premise I wrote in my notebook a while back, but I truly believe it. You know how they have, like, the ratings now, like, you know, rated R for strong language and mature? But there needs to be a VO for vomit. There seems to be an influx of vomit scenes in movies lately, and I just don't need that. I don't need too much vomit. There's a scene in Triangle of Sadness that's like 10 minutes of vomit. It's 10 minutes
that's
of vomit.
That's probably the last movie we went and saw in the theater, and I went up and got to the bathroom, and I got back, and Rachel's like, oh, you missed it.
It was awful. Like, I almost threw up from watching all that.
Really? You can watch a bunch of violence, but you can't watch a little barf?
I don't like barf, man. I don't like – I've been barfed on too many times, and it's just – I think I got a little PTSD. Yeah, but I don't know why you, like, as a filmmaker's perspective, like, I get that, okay, maybe this scene or this part of the story, you know, this person vomiting is pivotal in this scene. You can shoot it in a way that's just not completely, can't say that on television, green puke falling from the ceiling. Like, ugh. Like, some of these scenes, it's just like...
But they chose not to. How'd you handle Stand By Me?
What's the point? Yeah, I mean, that was rough. First time I saw that as a kid, you know, just... But that was a little cartoonish, so it didn't...
Yeah.
I think the realistic ones, it's just like, oh, man. I think I'd rather get peed on than puked on, man. I don't know. Of course, that's a whole nother episode.
Well, yeah, it's a... They really moved into the fetish world with that.
I don't know what the benefit.
You hear that, little fellas? You hear that, little fellas waiting in their Honda Accords at the park in Griffith Park?
Dave
would rather be peed on than puked on.
A
little bit about me. That's Dave's Grindr profile. A little bit about me. Rather be peed on than puked on.
From a
loves popcorn.
Artistic point of view, I don't know what's the point of showing. Like, gratuitous vomit. What's the point?
Big bowl of hot pee smells like hot buttered popcorn, if you think about it.
I mean, you know, you pee on me, I can take a shower.
If you smell it out of the corner of your nose, you can't tell the two apart.
I don't mind bodily fluids as long as they're not chunky. So.
Okay.
Jesus.
A little chunky piss.
But yeah, you said you did see Triangle of Sadness?
Yeah, we saw that one in the theaters.
Yeah,
I wasn't about it.
Yeah,
I
wasn't
just
either.
Went on for...
I like the very...
Wasn't my type of movie.
The very ending, the island part, I thought was okay, and the little twist there with the link. I thought, okay, that was interesting, but for the most part... I just don't... Maybe I don't know fucking shit about movies, but I see some of these Oscar-nominated movies, and I'm like, what? I don't know.
I can't think of the last time... Not trying to be like that guy. Like, I can't think about the last time I gave a shit about the Oscars. Like, oh, the Oscars are tonight? Cool, that's when I'm going to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
I feel the same really way, care. But it's... It's the Super Bowl.
But if you're telling me
showbiz types,
if you're telling me these are supposed to be a group of the best movies, it's like, okay.
Who's telling you
yeah,
that?
Yeah. But I guess I just I don't know how that
I don't
works.
See the Fast and Furious listed in here anywhere. So
I mean, seriously, is that all just PR? Is that just, I mean, you know more about the inside of show business than I do, but is that just having the right team push your shit or what?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's the same way anything's at. Why is anything at the forefront? Why is the worst comedy in stadiums right now and the best comedy trying to sell 50 tickets at a bar?
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. It's what it is. You got all all the right people, all the right names, you know.
Yeah, I don't fucking know.
I'm looking at it now. I don't. I didn't see. I think I watched the Elvis one on a plane.
How was that?
Fell asleep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that Baz Luhrmann. It's all like hyper stylized and kind of to me it feels like if it's like if Von Dutch made a movie. That's what. That's what all the Baz Luhrmann stuff feels like. Banshees of Inisherin.
I liked it.
Saw it, liked
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Saw it, liked it. Did not see Brendan Fraser in The Whale. I know people are mad because he wore a fat suit. And that he played a gay guy. They're like, you should get a actual fat gay guy.
Well, here's my question with that. Now, I kind of understand that's been a grievance in the last few years about, you know, representation and whatnot, but what if you got this great script and it's about a 600-pound guy? How many, I mean, there's going to be a limited amount of good 600-pound actors. What's the harm in putting on a suit?
I feel like that's what acting is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretending.
I don't know why people. I guess I get the gay thing. I get more of like a straight actor playing a gay when there are probably plenty of talented gay actors you could have chose from. But sometimes that just seems a little nitpicky.
But it's also, you know, changing the race of a role and all this stuff.
Yeah, that I get. I get that.
I'm not a filmmaker. I'm not bent out of shape with whatever choice you want to make. That's somebody else. After Sun, don't know what it is. Living, don't know what it is. These are all actors. What are the movies? What movies are they?
I don't have the list in front of me.
What are they horny about?
Fablemans, Elvis, Inisherin, The Whale. There's one I want to see. Women Talking, that looks good. I'll watch anything with Frances McDormand.
Does it?
Love her.
Can't believe it. I don't know.
That looks
best
good.
Best movie of the whole thing. Best Picture. All Quiet on the Western Front. I watched that one.
Oh, you did? Was it good? World War II?
It's a remake, yeah. Okay. World War One.
One, okay.
Heavy.
Really?
Avatar. Man, I would rather you shit in my mouth than make me watch another Avatar movie. Fuck that. I would rather take ass and go to a slaughterhouse than fucking watch Avatar.
Oh my God.
The rest of these are whatever. Top Gun. Give it to Top Gun just because it's Top Gun. Hell yes, Top Gun.
Okay, I saw it and I enjoyed it, but that seems a little out of character for the Oscars, does it not? Like, it's just an action movie. Okay, I didn't understand how that got on the list. But again, yeah, I mean, you could say that about a handful of those movies every year. So who knows? What the fuck do I know?
Yeah, I don't care about any of these.
I will say this. I think it's insane that Margot Robbie didn't get a nomination for Babylon. Babylon is a little disjointed. It was entertaining, but the story was kind of whatever. But she...
What's it about?
She just crushed it. It's kind of about the early days of Hollywood when they're transitioning from silent films to talking films. And she's a up-and-coming starlet. And she... Man, I don't know what it is about her. Like... She's just awesome. And I mean, an obvious thing, of course, she's attractive. And
yeah, I don't know what it is about her either.
No, but like, seriously, I think that might even hurt her, you know, in terms of like people don't take her as seriously because she is so beautiful. But, like, man, she's...
Did you see the Tonya Harding movie?
Loved it. Loved it. I thought she was amazing. I thought she was great in that. But she's great in Babylon. Just a real spitfire. I think Brad Pitt was great. I think Brad Pitt probably suffers from the same thing, too. He's so handsome that people... sometimes don't realize.
Can't believe he hits his wives.
Such a good. Oh, does he hit his wives? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that was a big thing that came out.
No, I didn't know that.
Beating their wife.
Brad, who'd he hit? Angelina? Yeah. I don't know who all he's been married to.
I don't.
What the fuck is wrong with people?
I saw like a thing on Twitter. I'm like, this is not a rabbit hole. This knowledge doesn't need to be part of my. Taking up space. I got limited space.
Jeez. I didn't hear about that at all. I like Brad Pitt, but that definitely changes my opinion, if that's true.
Some sort of riffraff.
Hmm.
But.
Oh. Well.
Yeah, man.
I think we've got it all figured
out. We do. We got it figured out again. We took a week off. Sorry nothing was figured out for the last week, guys. Yeah. But now here it is all figured out for you.
Mm-hmm. So, here to serve. Also, one last note. You gotta go get rad. One last note. I've fallen out of love with pork buns. I wanted to say Chinese. I don't know if they're Chinese, Vietnamese. What's the deal with a pork bun? What's all that? I like a bao. I like a good bao. These pork buns. It's like eating a pillow. I don't get the appeal. I'm done with that.
Well,
I'm done with pork buns, Kyle. Turning a new leaf.
When were you eating a bunch and then you stopped?
Nah, I had one. I have them every now and then at the dim sum place just because everybody says.
Gave you the.
No, this was a week or two ago. But I was just eating one. It was just, it was really disappointing. And I was like, what are people doing? What's the appeal here? The pork was a little too sweet. The bun is just too much. There's too much going on there. It's bland. Not to pick on Asian cuisine, but I think pork buns get a little too much credit. So, yeah, just want to get that off my chest.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Uh-huh.
You heard it here in Boogie Nation. Dave's done with pork buns.
But I am a
Hold all deliveries.
I am a Taco Bell fan now. So, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Which those are just little creamy buns.
Yeah, those are creamy buns. They got some flavor. They got some taste.
Fucking you just didn't have room for that many types of buns. One one out, one in. Bun out, bun in.
All right, ding dong. Anything to plug?
All right, man.
Where you at next week? What are you doing in L.A.? You're what? I almost said Fargo. You playing Fargo?
Where are we at on the calendar today? What's today? Well, what's today in podcast calendars?
In podcast world,
Tuesday the 7th?
7th, yeah.
Oh, tomorrow night in L.A., I'll be at the Rogue-esque pub, and I'm doing a hot tub tomorrow night, too.
There you go.
Rogue-like pub.
Okay.
In Studio City at right about 7:30, and then I'm doing a later spot over at Hot Tub. I'm hanging out. Largo, the 10th, is sold out.
Nice.
So the actual dates will be the Roommates Tour.
There you go.
With old me and Matt Bronger. I got to look up the actual thing. Hold on. I'm going to find it. Hold on. I'm going to find it. Here we go. It is, oh boy, Tuesday, February 21st at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Nice.
With Sean Jordan, too.
There you go.
Wednesday the 22nd, North Shore Theater in Duluth, Minnesota, with Sean Jordan. And the next night, Thursday the 23rd, at the Fargo Theater, also with Sean Jordan. This is me and Matt Bronger and Sean Jordan. That's in Fargo, North Dakota. February 24th, the Park Theater in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, with a pal, Jeff Sinclair. Bronger and I with Jeff Sinclair. That's what we're doing.
You, Matt, and Sean.
Pick up. Oh, if this lady doesn't pick up her dog shit.
Putzing around in the snow. That's
She's picking it up. Thank you. Thank you for picking up your dog shit.
Oh, man.
This dog is unloading right now. She got the bag out. God damn, that was... Those four dogs were the shit. Oh, this fella looks light on his feet now.
That's the Boogie Monster Podcast, most Tuesdays.
You're going to sprain your wrist carrying that bag, lady. So I'm looking, I look out, I sit in my room, and I'm looking right on the sidewalk, and we got, because people would let their dogs shit, because the sidewalk starts on our property. There's no sidewalk, and it starts when it gets, and so these dogs that are just on the street finally get to a sidewalk. They got to go over a little bit of grass. They would let them take a shit right there, which, whatever, just as long as you pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then people don't pick it up. We put a don't poop on the yard sign right there, and somebody let their dog shit right in front of the don't poop on our yard sign, like as a take that. And oh God, I want to oof if I catch that.
No pun intended. Is there a bigger piece of shit than someone that won't pick up a piece of shit from their own dog? What are you doing?
I mean, we started this whole podcast talking about mass shooters and murderers and torturers.
This is right up there.
But also on that list.
What are you doing? Who the fuck do you think's picking that up? Asshole.
We're getting you riled, Dave.
Also, return your shopping
carts. You're weak, Dave, you're weak from sickness. Okay. We can't get you riled up right now.
All right, I'll calm down.
Do you have anything to plug, Dave?
No.
Other than
doing a
basic human decencies.
Doing a storytelling show in Long Beach soon, but I don't remember the date, so I'll talk about that next week.
All right, sounds good.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Dave, that's why you're angry right now. It's bubbling up. It's bubbling up. We gotta get him out of here. All right, everybody. Talk to you soon.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.